let's take a moment and connect with the beauty. Beauty inside of us, beauty outside of us. Beauty we see outside in the nature. Beauty we see in each other. And beauty we recognize inside of our own soul, inside our own heart. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. خير مأدوب عليهم وعلى داليم آمين آمين. Welcome to this session of Inner Life. I think it's session, I already forgot what the name of it is now, what the number is. 14, 15, something like that. It's just curious how I just suddenly felt how every single time I come here to this space, whatever I feel before, like I was so tired today. And just coming here and just this moment already of being here is the medicine is already working. So yeah, so thank you for being here, accompanying me in this way. So I'm gonna continue with some reading, and every now and then I kind of evaluate what I'm doing here with this inner life and how to best work with it. So I am thinking that I will try to maybe not read absolutely everything, because it's, very long. I'll try to maybe like summarize some of the things. So we'll see how it works and how it goes today. But I will start off sort of remembering where we stopped last time and doing some reading anyway. So the last Kartika we were reading last time was that Hazrat Inayat Khan was saying, the exact meaning of the inner life is not only to live in the body, but to live in the heart and to live in the soul. So why then does not the average person live an inner life when they too have that have a heart and soul? It is because they have a heart and yet are not conscious of it, and they have a soul and know not what it is. And tasawwuf, to go with it, is that if people began by being heart conscious, they would also be limited in another way, in that they might be fully conscious of an inner life which is separate from the outer life, but they would not be having a full life. They would be avoiding the full life. So it's the same thing that we were talking about, the last couple of sessions, that when we live life only guided by our senses, by our outer world, it's not full life. And now he's saying here that when we are only fully God conscious, you could say, we are also not living the full life, because Allah created us human beings to manifest all these qualities in life, in this plane of existence where we are. So it's combining both of these and being aware of the inner and at the same time living in the outer as well. So, and then, so how, Murshid Sam then talks about, brings to it the theory that has become very popular, of that us as human beings, we are like an iceberg, that there is only this tiny bit of consciousness that we are aware of, and most of it we are not aware of. And he says, that's Murshid Sam now, that this theory is not the exploration. It's just the words and ideas, they are just indicators, that help to point us towards experiencing actually the what is underneath the surface, you could say, and not so much kind of theorizing or trying to find words to it, which is still being stuck under the mind mesh. I hope that makes some sort of sense. So I'd like to start doing a practice here straight away. And this is using two wazifas. We haven't really worked with these ones before, I think. It's Yabari. Yabari. Yabari, which is the one who makes the universe free of all, free from all inconsistencies, free from all faults or kind of defects, blemishes, guilt, all imperfections. So it's kind of like we can purify ourselves totally of anything that is not totally pure, so that we can live our life and realize the purity of our soul. So it's this potential of creating something totally new. And it is very good to use when we have been depleted by life, or when we feel kind of like, we are just down with everything that life has thrown upon us. So then Yabari helps us to rediscover that purity of our soul and just leave behind and free ourselves from everything else. And then we are saying Yamusawir. Yamusawir. Yamusawir, that's the continuously shaping the heart. And it's continually going towards manifestation. And it's like no matter what, again, what life has thrown at us, it's like Allah is giving us this toolbox of everything that is needed and is creating, giving us total design for everything that we want to create and bring into our life. And we just need to, trust that it all will happen according to Allah's plan. It's kind of like, it's like we are continually manifesting that, Allah's plans, basically, with what we are doing. And we are continuously kind of training our being and shaping ourselves like a potter shapes clay. So with everything given to us that is needed to do that work. So let's try these two a little bit. Totally purifying ourselves from everything that is, any blemish, any guilt, any mistakes, feeling the total potential of creativity. And then Yamusawir, feeling that we have everything that is needed to do that work so that we can start shaping our life the way that that Allah has planned for us. Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari. Ya Musawir, Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari. Ya Musawir, Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari, Ya Musawir, Ya Bari. Yamusawir. Yabari. 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 Yamusawir. Yabari, Yamusawir, Yabari, Yamusawir, Yabari, Yamusawir, Yabari, Yamusawir, Yabari, Yamusawir, Yabari, Yamusawir, Yabari, Yamusawir. Yabari, Yamusawir. Breathing in, Bari. Breathing out, Musawir. And then letting go of the words. Feeling this sort of like new beginnings. Breathing in with all the potential there is. Breathing out, feeling that we have what it takes to bring that into manifestation. Sukateka is saying that when we experience life independently of our body, it is called the inner life. And Murshid Sam Tasawuf says that this inner life is much more than the mental consideration. Calling some aspect of inner life, some aspect of life inner, does not of itself awaken us to the consciousness of it. And many practices, Sufism and other esoteric practices as well, talk about it, that it's about doing and not about the words of it. And Gataka. Once we have experienced the inner life, the fear of death has expired. Because we know death comes to the body and not to our inner being. When once we begin to realize life in our heart and our soul, then we look upon our body as a coat. If the coat is old, we put it away and take a new one. For our being does not depend upon our coat. The fear of death lasts only so long as we have not realized that our real being does not depend upon our body. And then Murshid Sam talks about reincarnation. That, you know, you could see this as a reincarnation. And when one begins to examine the real life, which is called inner, because one has to consider what is now entirely within as well as without. And this continues from an entirely new and transcendent outlook, that once we have that realization of inner life, you know, both inner and outer, and living from that place, not only kind of conceptually understanding it, that this is when you know, the life opens up and there is no fear of death, and it's we are looking at everything anew and totally open, not trying to get others to understand and live according to our concepts, but just being open to actually seeing life from new perspective. So that's kind of the gist of this section. And then Gataka, Hazrat Inayat Khan goes on to say, the joy, therefore, of the one who experiences the inner life is beyond comparison greater than that of an average person living only as a captive in their mortal body. Yet the inner life does not necessitate us adopting a certain way of living, or living an ascetic or a religious life. Whatever our outer occupation be, it does not matter. The one who lives the inner life lives it through all. So, and Tasavvuf. The Upanishads teach positively and definitely that each stage in cosmic evolution takes one into ever grander experiences of joy. They are as definite on this point as lecturers are not. For the speakers and teachers, being people of mind, do not know the ananda or the bliss from their direct experience. And all the scriptures, all of them posit this bliss as sign of the attainment of the inner life. That's so beautiful. You know, just feeling the joy. It kind of relates to me what Lama Zopa Rinpoche used to say, that the secret path to enlightenment, or the fastest path, the shortcut to enlightenment, is to rejoice, and to rejoice in your own good fortunes and others' good fortunes, and you know, all the good that you can see. Truly rejoicing in that. So let's do just a little bit of a practice again. It is to kind of be aware of that continuity of breath and continuity of awareness on the breath, and realizing that our soul is independent of this coat of the body. So it's like realizing realizing that life is here and now and it is everlasting. Yahayu Yakayum. Yahayu Yakayum. We are not gonna do it outwardly. We are just gonna breathe in Hai or Yahayu, and then breathing out Kayum, breathing in that infinite life and breathing out, relaxing into the knowledge that that life is everlasting and never ceasing, and our soul is that life, everlasting, never ceasing. So let's do that for just a minute or two. And then letting go of the words. Amen. Life everlasting. Gateka. We always look for a spiritual person in a religious person, or perhaps in what we call a good person, or in someone with a philosophical mind, but that is not necessarily the case. A person may be religious, even philosophical. They may be religious or good, and yet they may not live the inner life. Tasavvuf. This has been one of the greatest obstacles in the early spreading of the message of Sufism to the West. In the West, where no matter what is said or taught, the hearers are still caught in the webs of traditional personality. The greatest fault of Puritanism did not come from its restrictions on certain habits, but its exclusion of joy as the possibility for all. I love that one. The greatest fault of Puritanism did not come from its restrictions on certain habits, but its exclusion of joy as the possibility for all. That's so beautiful. Those who have met some of the great Murshids and Swamis realize that among the signs each has is this almost infinite capacity, if not infinite manifestation of joy. Gateka. There is no distinct outward appearance which can prove a person to be living the inner life. except one thing. When a child grows towards youth, you can see in the expression of that child a light beaming out, a certain new consciousness arising, a new knowledge coming which the child has not known before. That is the sign of youth. Yet the child does not say so. He cannot say it, even if he wanted to. He cannot explain it. So this is what I was just saying before, that it's, when we start trying to put it into words, we fail. It's about feeling it, and it's that sense of living like a child who is open to experiencing all these new things and finds joy, and that's what Yeshua was also meaning when he said, you know, you need to be like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, to approach life with that attitude, and at the same time, in a sense, not be like child, because the youthful joy can be short-lived. You know, it can be very dependent on conditions, outward conditions. And so by realizing our inner life, we rely on our own soul, on the connection with the divine, to be in that state of openness and joy. Okay. Moving through it. Okay. And one more Gatheka. The inner life is a birth of the soul. And the best way to communicate is by awakening some hidden facet in the life of another. You know, best way to communicate the inner life, that is by awakening some hidden facet in the life of another. Therefore, Sufism itself is not a fixed science or a limited one, but a progressive one used by teachers and masters to meet the needs of the time and to apply methods which have salutary effects on others. So it's about bringing more, bringing out something, a spark or something in the others who we meet, who we interact with, and manifesting that universal joy and awareness, you know, just by being who we are, and, you know, breaking through these limited kind of outlooks that that we might hold otherwise. So we're gonna do one more practice, and this is to help us to manifest that universal joy. So we're gonna say Yafata, opening the way, and Ya Jamil. So we are opening the way to this beauty to manifest through us, through each one of our actions, through our breath, through the light that is shining out of us. And you know, when we say that, then you can kind of concentrate on this surge of magnificence that comes when you are in that space of being fully in that open state and seeing the beauty in the world, or in yourself, in others, and in your own heart and soul. So let's do that. Ya Fata, Ya Jamil, Ya Fata, Ja, Jamil. Ja, Fatah. 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 Ja, Jamil. Breathing in, Ya Fatah, feeling the openness in our heart. And in Ya Jamil, feeling our body, our heart filled with beauty. Letting go of the words and just breathing with a feeling in our heart. Amen. So maybe we can just finish with another little chant. Allahu, 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 Allahu. Amen, amen. Amen. I'm gonna stop the recording now.